Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, and welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I am your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and my co-host is Veronica McMillan. How are you, Veronica?
I am great, Francine. How are you this Thursday evening?
I am doing fine. Just a few minutes off my schedule. I don't know what I was thinking, but all is well, all is well. Yes, I am so excited to be back with you all tonight. Veronica, you had a great show last week, and I wanted to just say great guests and great information. And I want to start tonight's show and just thanking everybody for tuning into the show and just tell a little bit about who we are and what we do. And I'm going to go first, and then Veronica, you can just hop on in. We want to welcome you to the Issues Concerning Women radio show. I'm Francine Humphrey, and I am the CEO and president of Issues Concerning Women, where we actually help women with and their families reaching their long-term and short-term goals, assisting them in the areas of business, careers, housing, finances, and life skills. And so, Veronica, just jump right on in there.
And I am Veronica McMillan, president and founder of the Micro Nonprofit Network. We do all things nonprofit. For those who are interested in starting their nonprofits, we're here to help educate, train, and equip them to serve their community, especially for those organizations who are going after that 501c3. So that's who we are, Francine.
Oh, wonderful. So tonight we want to do a little bit of education, because I get calls all the time about just what do you do. And so, Veronica, you know, we talk about this all the time. We think people know what we do, and they really don't. They now, you know, because they hear us on the air, they think we're just radio personalities, and that's not all that we do. So, Veronica, I know you just described just a brief description of who you are, and can you dive in just a little bit more and talk about if somebody wanted to start a nonprofit, how you could be able to help them, some of the ins and outs of that, and especially the part about it's not free, because that's such a key thing.
Yes, it's not free. And because you are a nonprofit does not mean it's free. And here's what we do first. So basically what we do, we help those small nonprofits who decided to fill out the 1023 easy form, which is the short form for the 501c3. And so what we do is we come in and we help them from startup, from getting their articles, bylaws, conflict of interest, EIN number, 501c3 application. And now the 501c3 application is easier than ever because it's an online application for those who are going after the short form. It's just a 3-page application. And yes, people say, well, can I do it? Yes, you can. But it's so much more to that. It's more than the 501c3. And so what we have is a comprehensive service for our clients. So we help them through all of that. Then we work with them on getting the other pieces that they need to have, such as their solicitation form, their tax exemption form, helping them to look at their programs and what have you. So that is the consulting side of our nonprofit. So for people to understand, a nonprofit runs through grant by its grants, it runs by its fee-based services, it runs by the donations that people give to help the organization move on and all of that stuff. So it makes its income based off of grants and donations, fundraisers, and all of that stuff. But basically, the fee-based service comes in because if you don't get a grant, how does that organization reach its mission and its goal? And so then what people need to understand is that a nonprofit simply means is that we don't take a profit. It doesn't mean that we don't make money. The simplest example that I give to everyone is For example, in a for-profit business, after all expenses have been paid, let's take an instance, it's $2,000 left over after everything has been taken care of. Partnership saying, hey, you take $1,000, I take $1,000. In the nonprofit world, rather than you take $1,000, I take $1,000, it goes back into the nonprofit, whether it be for salary, for program expenses, office expenses, reserve income for a rainy day, because you're going to have a rainy day in any business, or you're trying to build a reserve so that when you have your down years, the nonprofit doesn't have to close up. And so that's basically what we do in terms of helping nonprofits. And then we do every quarter a strategy cafe that's free. We can come in and get more knowledge where we're coaching, mentoring, talking with other nonprofits, brainstorming, strategizing, all of that stuff. So that's what we do.
Okay. And you did mention the short form. Now, for those who may think that they need something else, what's the difference between the short form and the long form?
Right. So the short form, as I said, is a three-page application, and it's specifically for organizations who basically forecast out for 3 years, and they're telling IRS that they're not going to exceed $50,000 in its first year, $50,000 in its second, $50,000 in its third. So IRS has sort of like a questionnaire that you fill out to see whether or not you fit that short profile. And so if you do, then you do that. But for the long form, which is $600, that's a paper-based form, and it's much more detailed. It's for organizations who feel as though, hey, we already making $40,000 a year before we even got our 501c3. You know what I mean? And so we're going to, because we got these fundraisers, we know that this organization is going to support us, and they're going to give us a $500,000 grant right off the shot, right out of the gate. And so it is better for them to go long form, because then you're going to go into more in-depth information. You're going to explain your organization a little bit more. And basically, you're telling IRS that we already know we're going to exceed the $50,000 forecast for each of those years. And I've had organizations to do that. And when we did our first nonprofit, there was no short form. Everybody had to do the long form. So that's the difference. One is paper-based, one is online, and it's all based upon gross annual revenues for the organization.
Okay. Well, this is wonderful information. And so I have one more question, and then I'll jump in with my two cents worth. So when they're let's say they're a business, and then all of a sudden, let's say issues concerning women, and then one morning I wake up, because we're LLC, and I say, I want to be a nonprofit. Is that possible?
So an LLC cannot be a nonprofit. It would have to start its own separate entity, because I had an organization before, and it was an LLC, and I called to find out from the SEC's office. I said, hey, you know, I'm wanting to go nonprofit. They said, no, you must start a whole separate entity, whole EIN number, whole different thing, because it's two separate entities altogether. So you couldn't go from LLC to 501c3, because some people, well, let's just amend our articles and become 501c3. They don't let you, they being SEC, let you do that. You could start a whole nother entity and keep your LLC, and then just have a separate entity. So yeah, that's how it goes.
Wonderful information, because I get that question all the time, because even though I don't own the nonprofit, I work closely with Veronica, so people ask me questions, and I refer them to Veronica, because I'm not going to ask the question. They're going to say, Francine told me I can't do that. I don't want to see. And so it has happened a couple of times, and I was like, well, you know what, tonight, since we didn't have a guest, I said, well, let's talk about this thing, you know, what we need to do. If we're in a, for-profit business, or if we're in a non-profit business. Now, Veronica's just giving you some free information. So take it and run with it if you feel like you can. And if you can't, you need to call Veronica. So, Veronica, tell them how they can get in touch with you, because we just perked up somebody's ears. So how can they get in touch with you if they need your assistance?
Sure, thank you. So definitely via email at info@micrononprofitnetwork.org, all one word. And then basically that's they can go to our website at micrononprofitnetwork.org and find out information about our organization. And one of the things that I say to people all the time, Francine, is that, yes, you and your cousin can get together and do this, do the application and all of that stuff if you get all the other pieces in place. But it's more than just doing paperwork, and that's what people call me and ask me. I had a call the other day. A young man called me and said, hey, there was somebody interested in starting their nonprofit, but somebody was cheaper than what I was. And then I said, well, are they going to be basically, you know, helping you through this whole understanding what the nonprofit world is? Because somebody can give you your paperwork, because I have lots of clients that have their 501c3 and have done absolutely nothing with it because they didn't know what the next step was. You know what I mean? Somebody told them, just do it yourself. Save yourself some money. Just do it yourself. Okay, go ahead and do it yourself. But when you mess something up and I got to help you clean it up and then we got to move forward, now it's going to cost you more because now I'm becoming the cleanup woman. So for your cousins, you know, you could do it yourself kind of thing. And so if you can do it yourself and go for it, go for it. But know that it's more than just paperwork.
That's good information. And to anybody out there listening, we understand. We know there are a lot of smart people out there and a lot of people that know how to do certain things. But if you're going to invest your hard-earned money and time and your commitment, then you need to be with somebody that's going to help you do it the right way so that you don't have to keep doing do-overs, that you don't have to keep spending hundreds and thousands of dollars, because we know people that have spent thousands of dollars and still don't have a nonprofit. You know, we know that it's not something that we're making up. Or they have a nonprofit, and just like Veronica said, they can't move to the next step because nobody told them there's some other things you have to do after you submit your application and your application comes back. So now they're sitting there going, well, I have a nonprofit. Well, so what? What? What are you going to do? How are you going to move forward? How are you going to even complete all of the processes if you don't really know what they are? So I'm encouraging everyone who wants to do this and get more information, even if it's not with Veronica, but once you go and find out that somebody's really not going to help you, then you need to come back to my sister friend, Veronica McMillan. I'm just putting it out there today, okay? Because she knows her stuff. And so for me, on the small business side, I am the CEO of Issues Concerning Women, and when you own a business, it's pretty much along the same guidelines of what Veronica just said. You need first thing you need to do is get a license. So you go down to wherever your court is, county, city, whatever, get your license. You do need an EIN number. You do need to register your fictitious name, even if it's your last name, like if it was Humphrey and Associates, I still would have to register that. And then you have to follow certain guidelines as well as far as the kind of business that you are, because once you go down to the city and you become legally a business, they kind of give you a category where you fit in. This is what your business is going to be doing. So for me to be in a consultant, I have a certain number that they give me for a consultant. Now, if you're a caterer, you get a different number. If you're a brick mason, you get a different number. So every business has their own category, and where do you fit? And so, and a lot of times people don't realize that until they go to do other things like becoming certified, like SWAM certified. If you're a minority or women-owned business, then they're going to ask you what categories are you in. Then you have no clue because you haven't really done your homework. You just have a license, you know. So I tell my clients all the time that is much more than just getting a business license. And most importantly, if you're going to have products, you need to make sure that you trademark them if you have specific things that you're using in your business. If you are a writer, you need to have all your books copyrighted or all your materials copyrighted. So it's more than just getting a license and getting some pencils and paper and getting a website, because that's what most people think a small business is. Now, having a website is important, and just I'm just like everybody else. I have a website, but do I keep it up to date? Not 100% of the time, which is another no-no, in which I have to do better, because the teacher now has to become the student again and start looking at what it is that I'm really needing to do to make sure that my business continues on and continues to prosper. If you're a business that has employees, you need to have an accountant, and you need to have a bookkeeper, depending on the size. But you can have an accountant without a bookkeeper. It just depends on what size business you are. But for the most part, if you don't know anything about accounting, just like Veronica just said, if you don't know anything about being a nonprofit, you can't be the accountant and the bookkeeper. And some small businesses do, because they can't afford to, so they think, have an accountant. But if you're going to do business the way that it needs to be done, then you really need to do that, unless you're good in math and you know you have a system that you can work with. And so that would be your own personal decision. But for me, I tell all of my clients they need to get an accountant. And they don't have to have one that they use, you know, every single week. They just need to have that information available to them so they don't get into tax trouble at the end of the year. And especially if you have employees, because that's a whole different animal. If you have employees, you need to be paying for certain things for your employee and making sure that the right amount of monies are being taken out for their taxes. Because if you don't, you'll get this pretty little letter in the mail with red writing on it and saying, hey, you need to have this done by the first of the month or we're going to find you X amount of dollars. Now, how do I know that? Because it happened to me. You know, it hasn't happened recently, but when I did not know what I was doing, and I just thought, you know, I had these two wonderful people working for me, and I just was like taking out the taxes, but I wasn't taking out enough to cover them. So if you have a business, if you have employees, then you need to know exactly what it is you need to take out. Now, if you have 1099 individuals who are independent contractors, that's a whole nother world that you need to know all of the rules that apply to that. You just can't say that they're 1099, but then you have them in the office working like your employee. You have to know the difference, and there are some guidelines. And so for all of these things that I just talked about, you need to get more information. If you really want to get your business going and really do all the things that you need to do, then you can get with me, and you can call me at 757-567-6734, or you can email me at icwdirector@gmail.com. And my website is issuesconcerningwomen.org, and I will be updating that over the Labor Day weekend. I'm going to work just a little bit, not the whole weekend. And so to be truthful, because you have to be true to who you are, and you have to tell the truth, you know, because sometimes we don't really think about it. We're like, well, it doesn't matter because nobody's watching. You never know who's watching you.
Right.
You never know when you're going to get that call and say, hey, what's your website? You know, because Veronica, that has happened to us, right? And we're like, okay, we need to go check and make sure that everything is, you know, looking good and, you know, all the correct information is in there. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're not telling you things that we don't know. We have gone through all of this, and so which gives us, you know, pretty much the upper hand on somebody who's just starting or somebody who's been in business, but they are not getting anywhere. And they have a nonprofit and they are not moving forward. We definitely want you to get in touch with us. And so that's our little two cents worth about the for-profit world, the nonprofit world. And so one thing I want to talk about right quick, Veronica, is the event that we had on Saturday. I want to touch on that just a little bit. On Saturday, we did the African American Equal Pay Day Issues Forum at the Chrysler Museum. And to bring it all into a nutshell, African American Equal Pay Day is the amount of time that it takes for African Americans to reach the same, it's a symbolized number, to reach the same amount that others have made the year before. So let's give the example. So, you know, you worked last year, you got paid at the end of 2018, and you made all your money. But African Americans had to work 8 more months to equal the amount that you made if you were someone other than an African American or in a different field. Now, the amount that they give on the national level is about 61 cents of the dollar for African American mm-hmm. women and about 80 cents for men, which is still disturbing to me.
Yeah.
Because I got to work 8 extra months and I still don't get paid. I still don't get the whole
yeah.
dollar. So
right.
that is, you know, something that blows my mind every time I think about it.
Mm.
And so on Saturday, we all came together, a lot of us, a lot of organizations. The micro nonprofit was one, 100 black women. Deborah Hunt, she's the president of the Urban League Guild. We had Michelle Ewing from Five Rings Financial. We had Gary McCullough from TM Associates. We had Reverend Linda Kelly from G. Paris Media Group. Did I leave anybody out, Veronica?
And we had the little portrait piece.
Yes, we had Kevin Seeley, who did he read the Let America Be America again. And somebody called me after the event and said, you know, listening to that just made my hair stand up on the back of my neck. This was written, you know, 50, 60 years ago, and it's still relevant today, which is
mm-hmm.
absolutely mind-blowing that we still don't know where we actually fit into the whole scheme of things as an American. So it was really bone-chilling to actually hear the person, you know, really describe it and talk about it. And so, Veronica, if you just want to jump in and tell about your experience at the event, that would be great.
It was just wonderful. Again, you talked about that difference, the disparity in terms of the dollars that we got to really, you know, we got to be really earning to catch up. And partly is because, and we didn't really touch on it, we is that systemic racism that is
mm-hmm.
still, you know, it is just anointed, if you will, upon all of our systems in place we're in. It's a set practice. And
mm-hmm.
until we're able to have that conversation over and over again, that narrative will remain the same, Francine, just like that poem. It was just crazy how it
mm-hmm.
is. And I think that the conversation has to be held more and more. And then I think that we have to really talk about, you know, negotiating our salaries when we're sitting down going before, you know, an employer, so
mm-hmm.
that we come to the table knowing what we bring to the table. And this is something, for me, I've never really had that negotiating skill when it comes to my salary. So they say, okay, this is the range, $45,000 to $50,000, and we're paying
mm-hmm.
you $50,000. And you never thought to, hey, but I'm really
mm-hmm.
worth $60,000. Do I have
right.
any negotiating power here, or are there extra perks that I can have? Because if you're really good, they will negotiate it. Now, if you saw and you come to the table and they were like, hey, there are a thousand of you all out here like this that we can get, then then there's something else to say. But I really do think that we got to learn how to negotiate our salaries, and no one taught us that. So we go in. They said 55, I'm going to accept 55, but you know you 60, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you didn't even
right.
dare say, hey, could we negotiate that? Because no one
mm-hmm.
taught us that. So that in itself is a whole workshop, seminar. How do you negotiate
yes.
salary? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that I go
Absolutely.
In and do it. So I think that's what we got to do too, because the narrative will remain the same. They ain't going to just
mm-hmm.
jump up and say, okay, I don't care that it is African-American payday. We paying you this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it
yep.
is. And so that's
Absolutely.
What I would say, Francine.
Okay. And that is a great caveat to where we should be after the forum. And we really didn't have enough time to really dive into some of the questions
mm-hmm.
on Saturday. And so, again, I'm getting the calls, you know, we need to do this again. What's the next step? When is part two? You know,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm really
mm-hmm.
excited about that. And as I was going over my paperwork, and then Veronica, I'm glad you said that, because the wage gap and the wealth gap is a piece that we kind of like glaze over, and we have to know
mm-hmm.
those negotiating skills, and we do need to have a workshop
mm-hmm.
or seminar. So that's going to be
mm-hmm.
our next step. And
mm-hmm.
I know that all the people that were in the room, you know, that day, you know, has a fortitude of information that they could bring to this issue. So I definitely will be reaching out to other people, because if you and they always say this, and we don't really pay any attention to it, that men don't have a problem negotiating their salary.
Mm-hmm.
People say that all the time. Men don't have a problem because they already know you're going to have them working 60-hour weeks, but you're only paying them for 50 hours. You know,
mm-hmm.
they already know
mm-hmm.
that they're going to be, you know, called upon to do special projects and different things. And depending on what area they're in, they already know what you're going to ask of them, especially if they've been in their field any amount of time. So they don't
right.
have a problem with saying, hey, you offering me 50, 55 when I know I'm worth 65, 70. So can we get
mm-hmm.
somewhere in the middle, you know? And so, and then plus on top of that, I want you offering 2 weeks vacation. I want 4 weeks vacation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to, you know, get off early some days. So all of that is a learning
yep.
curve that we were not
mm-hmm.
taught. And
yep.
so we are so excited sometimes to just get the job. And it was like,
yep.
oh, wow, they offered me 50. But did you really go out and look and see what the national average is for the job that you're doing? I don't
right.
think we
right.
do that either. You know, so we
right.
know that people are going to always lowball any salary. And then there's
mm-hmm.
going to be the low, the middle, and the high. So
mm-hmm.
if you can get somewhere, not even in the middle, but above the middle, then you have
mm-hmm.
something to work with if you're willing to just
yep.
say, when they slide that little piece of paper, and this is so funny to me, when people slide that piece of paper over to you, they're
yes.
sliding the piece of paper because they already know you probably will have an objection to what they're saying. They don't want to hear you say no. So they slide it over
yeah.
there to you and say, this is what
yeah.
we came up with. You know, and
yeah.
so when we
mm-hmm.
see that, it just doesn't happen on TV, people. This happens in real life. So when they
yep.
slide that little piece of paper, you should have already a number in your mind to quickly
mm-hmm.
X out what they put and put a new number. Because if they
mm-hmm.
really want you, they're going to raise that amount that you asked for.
That's
so,
exactly
Veronica,
right.
you just
exactly
brought
right.
it right to the head, you know, where we need to be
yep.
next and what our next step is. So, Veronica,
yep.
we got about 1 minute. So just tell everybody how to get in touch with you and anything else that you have going on this month coming up.
Wonderful. So you can contact me by phone at 757-572-0974. Only serious callers. It's unfortunate that we got to say that because we get so much robocalls and people want to sell mess. I don't want that. And then info@micrononprofitnetwork.org is the email. And, of course, the website is themicrononprofitnetwork.org. And so right now we
Wonderful.
Don't have anything coming up.
Okay. And my information is telephone number 757-567-6734. My email address is icwdirector@gmail.com. And the website is issuesconcerningwomen.org. So we want to wish each and every one of you a safe and wonderful Labor Day weekend. Please be safe.
Mm-hmm.
All of our friends down in Florida, we are praying for you. And hoping that the storm misses you, and just be safe out there. God bless you all, and we'll talk to you next Thursday. Take care now. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night.